Okay, today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Vav, the second of two dafim here in Shas and Maseches Yoma that have to do with the Mun. And then, B'ezras Hashem, in the middle of today's daf, we get back to the Inyanim of Yom HaKippurim. Just keep in mind that Rabbi Tzadok from yesterday, why the Mun is in Maseches Yoma. We are in the middle of a discussion about the Mun, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lechem Abirim Achal Ish. So the first day that the Gemara quoted was, what does that mean? Lechem Abirim are angels. It's Lechem that the angels eat. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. And Rabbi Yishmael said, Akiva, what are you talking about? The angels don't eat. As the Pasuk said, as we said, Lechem lo achalti, umayim lo shasisi, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat and drink when he was up with the angels. So really, Lechem Abirim is from the word Avarim, from the word limbs. It's Lechem, it was food that went into the limbs and did not come out. It wasn't motzi any psolas. There was no waste. So why did they need to take shovels in order to create holes outside the camp in order to deposit their waste? That was from the food that the Umos Ha'olam sold them along the way. The angels that they, the other nations that they met. Right? So it sounds like even though they had enough food from the Mun, you know, they happened to eat some and maybe they got some snacks from the other Umos Olam. Just want to aret, because it has to do this week's parsha, the end of Mishpatim, the Pasuk says, similar to the Pasuk that's just said here in Dvarim, where it's repeated, but the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was up for 40 days and 40 nights, obviously on Har Sinai, and the Ibn Ezra writes that there was never such an unbelievable miracle that took place in history. Lohaya kazeh davar nifla me'olam. I forgot the exact lashon. It's the last Ibn Ezra in the parsha. And the question that's asked is, this was the greatest miracle, that Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, more than Kriyas Yamsuf, more than Makas Bechoros, more than all the other Nisim. So what's so unique? The Ibn Ezra says, this is unbelievable. I can't imagine this. So I heard at one time, B'shem Rav Kreisworth, that he said that the Medrash tells us in Zos HaBracha that Moshe Rabbeinu was bargaining at the end of his life. He didn't want to die. But his Baruch Hu said this time, you're 120 years old today, happy birthday, but it has to be your yard site also. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, come on, please, just a few more minutes. Just let me be like a bird that flies over. Let me be just anything, any little. Moshe Rabbeinu, he appreciated life more than anyone else ever in the history of the world, the potential of every moment. And yet, even though he appreciated life so much, he was ready to give 40 days and 40 nights of his life, where he really wasn't human, as we just said. In this pasuk, when he was up with the angels, he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, and he was ready to be moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael. He says, that's the unbelievable, that mesiris nefesh, about one Jew for a fellow Jew, says, lo ra kazeh. We've never had this before, that mesiris nefesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who recognized the value of every moment and was ready to give, says, that's the mesiris nefesh. And that's maybe a hosafa to that. That's maybe what we say under a chuppah. Haram u'kudesh li b'tabazu. A chassan says, you are married to me, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Like Moshe v'Yisrael, so what does that mean? Pashas according to the laws of Yadus, but maybe it means on a deeper level, like the commitment that Moshe Rabbeinu had for Klal Yisrael, that's how much that we are committing to each other right now. Like this marriage that is taking place today. Okay, so that's just relating to the pasuk of Lechem lo achalti, umayim lo shasisi. So we're in the middle of the discussion. We're about 8 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Elazar ben Prati Omer, af dvarim shetagrei umos ha'olam mochrin lahen man mefigon. Even the items that the other nations sold them, the mun softened their effect, and even that food did not produce waste. The mun affected it. Elamani makai v'yaseiti alachal azinechas. What did we need that for? It's a mitzvah, which comes up in Parshas Kiseitzei. Liachash asarchu. That's after they complained. They complained about the mun in Rashi quotes, "V'nafshinu katsa b'lechem akalokel." Right? Once they complain, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You complained about it? Okay, so it's not going to have this special quality anymore." Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ani amarti yu kamalachei asharis." I wanted you to be like angels that ate and didn't produce waste. This fits very nicely into the Rabbi Tzadok. The connection between the Mun and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur were also like angels. Then we were like angels and didn't have to, and ate the Mun. Achshav ani matriach osam shalosh parsaos. Now, you complaining about it? Okay, so now I'm going to make it like regular food. And you are going to have to be matriach and leave 3 parsaos outside the camp. Dechsev, as the pasuk says, v'yachnu al yardei mibeis hayishimos ad avel hashitim. That was the size of the camp of Am Yisrael. V'yamar Rabbi Bar Chana l'didi chazi liyahu asra. I saw that area that's described in the Torah. V'avitlasa parsi, and it was three parsaos wide. And vitana, and we learned kisha nifnin, when somebody had to go to the bathroom, a nifnin lo lifneim velo litzdadeim, you cannot, they didn't go to the bathroom in front of the camp, the way they were facing, or on the side, elalachareyan, but behind the camp. So if somebody was in the front of the camp, and they had to go to the bathroom, they had to walk all the way back, three parsos, and then go outside the camp, in order to relieve themselves. So that shows, like Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I wanted to give this to you, magical food, and yet, you decided that you wanted to be, you wanted to complain about it, so I'm going to make you have something to complain about. You're going to have to go outside, I'm not going to give you a bathroom right near you, possibly, but it could be that you're going to have to walk three parsos. The Achronim here discuss three parsos, is that in the Tchum, is that outside the Tchum, was there Tchumen yet? We got Tchumen in Parshas Beshalach, and along the way they discuss, what about the Anane HaKavod? Where the Anane HaKavod considered walls, mechitzos, so it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid anyway. They were in the Midbar. One of the sources that we had in Maseches Shabbos for the size of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim was the Midbar, but Esau in the Midbar. 600,000, if you remember the discussion, Rashi and Tosfos, Shabbos Davav, Erevin Davav, what are the requirements for a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So if it's surrounded by walls, then it's not going to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the Avnei Nezer and Etshuvin, Simen Reish Ayin Ches discusses, well, were the Anane HaKavod considered walls or not? So first he says, well, maybe it depends on the Shita of what were the Anan, what do we hold about HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in Sukkos, in the Midbar, says the Avnei Nezer. He says, the Anane HaKavod haya muchach tananim chashuvim schach, kiven shashach zecher la'ananim al kin ananim chashuvim schach. Alamando amar sukkas mamish ein mishamrayu misvar lo chashivim mechitzas. He starts going through whether it's considered zecher mechitzas or Anane HaKavod. But his last point is that I don't think they're called mechitzas. And that's why here it says shalosh parsos, you had to go outside the camp. Why? Because what are the requirements of a wall? That has to be able to stand up in a normal wind. A ruach mitzuya. If it can't stand up in a ruach mitzuya, that's not called a wall. Right? For sukkah also. Right? If it blows in the wind, it's gotta be strengthened a little bit. How do I know that I couldn't stand in a ruach mitzuya? Based on another Gemara. Remember the Gemara in Yevamos? The Gemara in Yevamos explains, why didn't Bnei Yisrael do bris mila in the Midbar? Because it was dangerous. Because the northern wind, which is the healing wind, didn't blow. And that's why they didn't do bris mila, except for maybe Sheva Levi, or Vrischa Yinzoru. I asked the Gemara, so why didn't the northern wind blow? Because we didn't want the Anane HaKavod to be blown away. So that shows you, says the Avnei Nezer, that it couldn't stand a normal wind. Because Baruch Hu didn't make the wind blow because they didn't want the Ananim to leave. And that's why they didn't do bris mila. So it shows you, says the Avnei Nezer, putting all of Shas on his fingertips together, that it didn't have the status of a mechitza. Okay, either way, our Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset at us about complaining about the man, and therefore he took away some of its magical nature. Four lines from the bottom. V'ata nafshenu yevesha ein ko. What did we say? Right, it's even hard for us to imagine that they had the man and they complained about it, but we can't think that we would have been any better. Right, that's Am Yisrael. This is Am Yisrael, and this is what we have to learn from. So they said, there's nothing here except the man. Amru, asid man zesh etipach b'mayayem. They couldn't believe that they would never produce any waste. They said to themselves, I'm sure this is going to come out somewhere. Right, this must just be strange food. Klum yesh yulid isha shemach nizveino motzi. Is there ever somebody born of a woman that takes something in and doesn't put something out? Doesn't make sense, right? It has to be that it's going to come out at some point. Ukshenamru dvarim levnei Rabbi Yishmael. This will go with our gear sub. When Rabbi Yishmael heard this, Amar Lahem, again, what he said before, Al tikri abir mele evarim. Dvar shenivla b'masayim v'arabayim v'shmon evarim, something that's absorbed into the 248 limbs. Elamani mekayim yasei tiyel l'chal azinecha b'dvarim shebon lemi midiris hayam. The imports that they received in the desert. That's where the food, that's where the waste was produced from. Interesting lashon that they said, there's no yulud isha that is machnis ve'eno motzi. Rabbi Yosef Engel here in the Gilyon Yashah says, each of those words in the phrase should be focused on. He says, first of all, why doesn't it just say, klum yesh mi shemachnis ve'eno motzi? There's nothing. Dafka yulud isha. He says, number one, yulud isha is to exclude there is a being that is machnas veinomotzi, and that is a fetus inside his mother. The Gemara says a nida. And we know that it's machnis, it brings in, but it doesn't produce waste, right? It's a sakana, it's an issue if the child is already producing waste before the child comes out. So that's why Dafka says there's no yulud isha. No yulud isha, because there is somebody who's not yulud isha, right? The fetus inside, that's machnis ve'eno motzi. V'yalkein diktiku lomar yulud. Lomar rak ba'adam nolad ein davar zeh. She machnis ve'eno motzi. Ava ba'odo ba'ibur terem nolad ha'yeshno shapir. And then Adafka says Yulud Isha and not Yulud period, because there are certain animals, the Gemara says elsewhere, a Yitush, that is Machnis Ve'eno Motzi. Anyway, Adafka says, Rabbi Yosef Engel, that Adafka says Yulud, and Adafka says Isha. Last line. Dabar Acher, a different shot of Lechem Abirim. Lechem Abirim Achalish, Ze Yehoshua, She Yared Loman Keneged Kol Yisrael. This is a reference to Yeshua Ben Nun. That ish, right? Achal ish, lecha birim, the man achal ish. Ish, ish means Yoshua, he ate it. The man fell for him, keneged kol Yisrael. What does that mean? First, let's read the pasuk, sivhacha ish, v'ksivhasam, kach lechaz Yeshua ben Nun, ish asher ruach bo. Right, a man who has the ruach in him to be the next leader of the Jewish people, that's a reference of ish. Ve'ema Moshe dechsiv v'ha ish Moshe anav ma'od. Isn't that a more famous pasuk? So why don't you say this is a reference to Moshe? Don in ish me ish, v'ein don in ish me v'ha'ish. If you have a gzeir shava, you're right, it doesn't have to be so tightly connected. But if you have a choice, so it's better to use a closer word. And the same word ish ish, that is better. So what does it mean that the man fell keneged for Yoshua ben Nun? So the Mefarshim explained that Rashi explains here that when he was at the bottom of the mountain and everybody else was in the camp and he was sitting at the bottom of Har Sinai, so he was all alone. He didn't know, right? He didn't even know what was going on in the camp, right? He thought it was a war. So the man fell just for him. So one shot is that the entire amount of man that fell for Bnei Yisrael fell for him too, which is somewhat difficult. Why, Yoshua ben Nun needed so much man? Unless you say it's all spiritual food. So then he got all of that. Others say that no, it just means it's Fasemis, and others, that it just means that just like Bnei Yisrael were zochet to get their own man, the schus of the tzibur, Yoshua ben Nun was so powerful in terms of his schuyos that he merited to get his own man, even though it was in a different area right next to the mountain. And interestingly, the Mashach Chachma says that we know how long did the man last? The man lasted from, as I said, 2 weeks ago's parsha, B'shalach started, I think it was Tezayin Iyar, and it lasted all the way until right before they went into Eretz Yisrael, in Nisan. Right, it lasted until it fell until Zayin Adar, but when Moshe Rabbeinu died, so that it didn't fall anymore. But the Gemara says, it's quoted in the Mefarshim, in the beginning of Yoshua, that it lasted another 40 days, until they crossed, and they went in on Yud Nisan, they crossed, and they waited a couple more days until they could cut from the new grain, right? It was Chadash until Tezai and Nisan, until they could cut it, so the man lasted that whole time. Do the math, it's 40 days. Where'd that 40 days come from? That was the 40 days B'schus Yoshua ben Nun, right here. Yoshua ben Nun sitting at the bottom of the mountain 40 days, and he was Zochet to man? What does that mean? Says the Mashach Chachma. It's the man that lasted after Moshe died. And those were the 40 days, the same 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu, the man was not b'schus Moshe during that time, but the Gemara Taina says that the man was b'schus Moshe, and the bear was b'schus Miriam, and the Anani Akabu was b'schus Aaron. But really, they all lasted till Moshe died. Once Moshe died, they were all finished. But the man didn't fall anymore. So that's the 40 days. That's the Meshech Chachma in B'shalach, in Perak Tezayin, in Pasuk Yud. Ukshemes Moshe b'zayin Adar, nistafku mimansha b'kaleihem, arboim yom, achisha asar b'nisan, as it says in Kiddush Lamelches, v'zeh haya b'schus Yoshua, u'meyayin zachal hazeh. Where was he zochet to this from? B'shvil osar arboim yom, shehimtin l'moshe b'har. Those 40 days. And that's what it means, that Klal Yisrael got it b'schus Yoshua ben Nun. Okay. We continue. Sha'alu Talmidav as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. One of the great questions and answers in this Masechta and really in Shas. The Talmidim asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei ma lo yard lahem li Yisrael man pamachas bashana. Why did the man fall once a year? Once a year, that would have been good enough. And it would have lasted. Why did it have to fall every single day? The Ben Yoyada adds, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, that's the day that the Parnasa for the year is Nikva. As we know, the Gemara says in Beitza, our whole Parnasa is determined between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? Except for, what we spend on mitzvos. But why does it fall once a year? Every single day they had to go out, and even the tzaddikim, though, that had to that had to get it right outside. Still, why did it fall once a year? So, three answers given. Answer number one. Emsh Amar Lahem, Emsho Lachem Mashal. I'll give you a mashal. L'ma'adav Ardol Me'el Amalach Basar Vadam. To a king, a human king. Sheish Lo Ben Echad, he has one son. Pasak Lo Mizonosa, Pamachas Pashana. If he gives him an allowance once a year, V'lo Hayamach, V'lo Pamachas, V'lo Pamachas Pashana. He'll only come visit his father once a year. What do you mean? He got his allowance. That's it, it's finished. I don't need you anymore. Right? Parents are bankers. Right? So the children, they went to the bank, you know, they got what they needed, so that's all they need. I'll come back to the bank next year when my account is depleted. You know, that's when I'll need to come back to the teller. Amad upazak mezarosav v'chol yom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I don't want that relationship. V'yamak b'prei aviv kol yom. And that is, this is before the nimshal. So the father says, I don't want this. He gives him his own notes. He gives him an allowance every day. So that's why the son comes to see the father every day. Af Yisrael. Mi sheyeshlo arbaim v'chamisha banim, someone who has four or five children, hayadoeg v'yomer shemal yerid man l'machar. Maybe there's not going to be man tomorrow. V'nimsu kula mesa barav. All my kids, they're going to die. Nimsu kula machavin aslima l'avim shem shemayim chas v'shalom. Right, so that's why they're all machavin their hearts to shemayim, and every day they're going to have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, it's not like, oh, okay, I have enough for a year, so I'm okay now. Right? Only when somebody doesn't have do they start davening. When they have, we think, okay, we have, we're good. That's the first answer. Meaning, the question of the Talmidim was, the assumption of the question was, isn't the man all about the result? Isn't the man just about giving sustenance to Klal Yisrael? And therefore, just give it. Give it once a year. Rosh Rabbi Yechai explains this Talmidim, no. It's not just about the result, it's about the relationship. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating a relationship with his Am. Says, and that's why it has to be every single day. We've mentioned that this is what the Ramban says. Really, it might be the Rambam too, but it's the Ramban. Remember, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to daven every single day. The Rambam is Mishnah Torah, and it's Ephraim mitzvahs, the fifth mitzvah I say. The Rambam says is to daven. Right after, what are the first few mitzvahs I say? We're not 100% clear about the order of the Rambam, say for mitzvahs. Right, he has his own order. He has different clusters of mitzvahs. But we're not sure. But the beginning of the essays, he has believing in Hashem, Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Those are the first four. And the first mitzvah about doing something, number five, is davening, is tefillah. So the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to daven every single day. And the Ramban says, no, every day it's a chesed to daven. It's a great opportunity. Midrabanan, you have to daven. But midoraisa is just a privilege. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I would love to talk to you. Feel free to approach me. Yes, be'es tzara, the Ramban agrees it's you have to daven. But if it's not a tzara, the Ramban says, it's a privilege. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to come to him. That's exactly this Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu want, we all have needs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, please come to me. And in that way, we can have a relationship. That's the reason that the man is given every single day and not once a year. And the man symbolizes our parnasa. That's why we have to go out and daven for our parnasa and go out to work every single day. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to give once a year. He wants us to daven every day. He wants us to appreciate everything that he gives us and to keep up the relationship. Good. The Tosefos Yom Kippurim here says maybe the Talmidim knew that. Their problem was that, okay, that was before Maamad Har Sinai, for a couple of days, you know, to daven. But now that we have the mitzvahs, now we have to do it. Maybe that was their point. You have the relationship. You gave them the Torah. Right? So before Maamad Har Sinai, you want to say, okay, you want the relationship every single day. They want to turn to you. Fine. But after Har Sinai, Aval Sheino Gavrzeel Acher Matan Torah Basmada B'chol Yom Hu Zaris Gadol Shekfar Nisos Av Kiblu Es HaTorah V'Havli L'Hor Min Nereishis Hashana L'Tzor Kol Hashana. And Shem Echai answers, no. Afal Pikein. Even afterwards, I want an intense relationship. I don't want them just to have to do it because they have to. I want them to turn to me every single day. Good. That's a great conversation. We continue. Davar Acher. Second answer he gives them. Shehayu ochlin osok shulchan. He wants it to be fresh and hot for them, which is somewhat unusual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made it stay fresh and hot, like the Gemara we had earlier in this Masechta. They used to hold up the lechem upon him, right, a week later. But that's the, maybe, ein somchin, right, we don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to give a miracle, you know, such an open miracle every single day, even though just the man falling bechlau was a major miracle. What, just to make it keep fresh for a year? That would have been too much. But that's the answer. Number two. Davar acher, mipnei masuya derech. He didn't want them to have to schlep it. Again, unusual answer. The aron they schlepped didn't weigh anything, and it was extremely, extremely heavy in natural law. But Masuya Derech, they wanted, yes, the Mon falling was a tremendous zchus that Moshe Rabbeinu brought, but maybe once every Jew got it, so that maybe they wouldn't be Zoche. Right, and that's why it spoiled every day. That's why the Mon had to fall fresh every day. Period. V'kvar hayu Rabbi Tarfon of Rabbi Yishmael, v'zakenim, yoshvin va'oskin, v'parshas Haman. The Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Shmuel. They were talking about the man. Vahaya, Rabbi Elazar Hamudai, Yoshe Benehem, and Rabbi Hamudai was sitting with them. Ne'eneh, Rabbi Elazar Hamudai, v'yamar. And he said the following. Mad Shayarad Lahem Li Yisrael, Haya Gavoa Shishim Amma. The man fell, it was 60 amos high. There was so much man all over the camp, it was 60 amos high. It's pretty high. Amal Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon turns to him and says, Modai! That was his, Rabbi Elazar Hamudai's nickname. Modai! An Masai Atam Megabev Dvarim Umevi Aleinu. How long are you going to gather things that bring it to us? Meaning, what kind of statement are you telling me? 60 amos high? What's the lashon of Megabev gathering? He knew that he had to put together a couple of psukim and limudim to come up with this. That's the lashon of gathering. He says, what are you doing? Amalo Rebbe, Mikrani Dorish. He says, what do you mean? It's based on psukim. Rabbi Tarfon is going to say, yes, exactly what I was thinking. He says, Mikrani Dorish. It's psukim. Why? I know it from Psukim by the Mabul. Chamesh Esrei Amah Milamala. Gavru Hamayim Vayachusu Haharim. 15 Amos, the water was above the mountains. 15 Amos. So the Gemara asks, V'chimash Chamesh Esrei Amah Ba'emek. Chamesh Esrei Beharim. It sounds like 15 Amos of water fell. But the problem is, if you have 15 Amos on the of rain that fell, and it covered the mountains, what about in the valleys? 15 Amos. Right, it wouldn't be even. Right, it wouldn't be totally covered. V'chimaya shvari shvari kaimi? Was the water like walls? It was just a vertical wall. It was like frozen. So therefore, it was 15 wherever, whatever the topography was, it was 15 amos tall? No. Teva achisagya. And if that was true, how'd the teva float? It was different levels, different surfaces in the mountainous areas and in the valleys. So what's going on here? So Ella explains Reb Elazar HaModai, Nivko Kamainos Tom Rabba Ad Ashvu Maya Bahadi Ture. No. First the underwater springs, the underground springs opened up, and the entire earth was covered, and all the way until the mountains were covered, and now it was even. Now everything was totally even. And now above that was another 15 amos. The Hadr Chamesh Esrei Amah Milamala Gavur Amayim. So 15 amos tall, fine. So now Rabbi Elazar Madai continues. V'chi eizu midah meruba, which is a greater midah, midah tovo, midah peranos, as we know, which is a greater midah, when Hashem does something for the good, or for the bad. Havi amar midah tovo, don't midah tovo, midah greater, tovo midah peranos. So midah tovo is always greater when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs a certain miracle or a message. So by Peranus, right, by the Mabul, it says the windows of heaven were opened. So the windows of heaven produce 15 amos of material. By the Mabul happened to be of water. So let's keep that in mind. A little math. B'mida tova hu omer, and by mida tova, what does it say when it describes the mon in Tehillim? By itzav shchakim ima'al, Hashem commanded the heavens from above, the dalsei shamayim pasach vayamter, the doors of shamayim opened and rained down, vayamter aleihem man leachol, the dagan shamayim nasan lama. Good, so it says the doors of shamayim were opened. Kama rubas yish bedeles, in Talmudic times, how many windows are in a door? How many windows are in a door? Arba, arba. There are double doors, and there's four windows there. So harei kat shmona. So in each door there are four windows. Altogether there are eight in two double doors that open. So v'nimsa, if you have 15 amos of rain that fell from Arubos by the Mabul, so then here if you do the math, and as we the Tova is more, so v'nimsa mashi yarlam liyisrael gavoa shishim ama, because the Mabul had two windows which produced 15 amos, so the Mon, which had eight windows, produced 60 amos of Mon. That was Reb Elazar HaModai. And Rabbi Tarfon had seen it coming. So he said, you know, what are you gathering? But that was his statement, and that's how you see how much mon there was. Continuing this line of reasoning, Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Omer, mon sheyar lam liYisrael, hayimizgaber va'ole, it was so high, at sheroen oso kol malchi mizrach umayriv. They all saw it. They all saw this amazing material that fell from Shemayim. Shenemar, taroch lefanai shulchan neged tzorai. Set up my table in front of my enemies. And that's an allusion to the man, that the table was set, the man, and all the enemies saw it, and they were amazed by this special connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. V'gomer, kosi revaya, my overflowing kos, Amar Abayish Mamina, Kisa de David La'ama Da'asi, the kos of David HaMelech in the future, Masun Ve'esrin V'chadluka, had 221 lug in it, machzik, it held. Shenemar, lug is the smallest measurement in liquid volume. That's what we assume is talking about lug. And it says, Kosi Revaya, Revaya Begamashria Achihave. Revaya is Gamashria 221. And that's why that's what it's referring to. What kos of David HaMelech? So it could be, and then I saw it in the Marshai afterwards, maybe it's the Gemara that we mentioned yesterday outside. The Gemara of Sachem Kuf Yates, which talks about David HaMelech is going to bench in the Suda La Silavo. So at that Suda, this could be a pretty big cup. Going to be a pretty big cup. He's going to bench. Obviously, he's got to give a little shirayim to the entire Jewish people in the history that ever existed. Going to need millions and trillions of little kosos. So that's the kos that David HaMelech is going to use. Finishing up, Halodamya. 1 second. So now maybe this was Rabbi Tarfon's problem with Rabbi Elazar Madoi comparing it to the Mabul. You can't compare. Hasam Barbon Yomin. There it took 40 days. That's why maybe there was so much. Here, it was at one moment. One moment. Hasam Lekuliyama, there it was spread out. Lekuliyama. Maybe not Eretz Yisrael. Machlokas in Midrashim. Hacha L'Yisrael L'chudin, here it was just for Klal Yisrael. So it was, on the one hand, by the Mabul, it was 40 days, and therefore maybe you might have said there was more. But here, it was all in one area. It wasn't over the whole world, so maybe there should be more. V'nefesh L'nefesh L'tvei. So there should be a lot more. The ratio should be even higher. So the Gemara says, Ella, Reb Elazar, Hamodoi, Psicha, Psicha Gamar. It's not just a limud of Midah Tova, Yazmi de Peronis, but it is a Gzeirah Shava. Right? It says, Psicha by the Arubos Hashemayim, and it says the Psicha by the Dalsos Haman. Interesting that it's a Gzeirah Shava between a Pasuk in Tehillim and a Pasuk in Bereishis, but okay, we have that Gzeirah Shava. It's only a Gzeirah Shava in Agadata anyway, so it has some flexibility. Okay, so this gets us through the Mun. Didn't get to mention yesterday, but especially if it's mentioned in the past, the Mabit in his Sefer Beis Elokim asks, why is it that we have a Yontif that is for the Ananei HaKavod, we have a Yontif that is for, what else do we have a Yontif for? We have a Yontif for the three Nisim, right? We have the Ananei HaKavod, we have the Be'er, and we have the Mun. Asks the Mabit, why is it that we only have a Yontif for the Ananei HaKavod, and we don't have a Yontif for the Be'er and for the Mun, right? We have Sukkos. Right, the Mun, okay, maybe it's Lecha Mishnah, like we spoke about yesterday. One of the three reasons that we cover the Challahs is because of the Mun was in a package. And the reason we have two Challahs is because a double portion fell out on Friday. But why do we only have a Yontif for the Ananei HaKavod? Why don't we have a Yontif for the other two? Explains the Mabit, because, yes, it was done miraculously, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a nation of 2 million people into the desert, left the Echach Rabba Midbar Beres Lo Zeruah. He kind of had to give us bread and water. It wouldn't have been right for him not to give us bread and water. So he gave it to us in an unbelievably miraculous way. We were in the desert. He had to do the miracle. It's kind of his, he took it on himself. So that's why the Be'er and the Mun, he had to give us. The Ananei HaKavod, that he didn't have to do. He says that was beyond. To make everything flat, to have our clothing grow with us, to protect us from the elements. He says that was beyond. That really shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. He didn't have to do that. And that's why we have a special Chag for that. For that miracle out of the three. This also relates, similar idea to the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi in the beginning of Kisisa writes that it's interesting that we know that there are a number of times in the Torah, twice in Sefer Shmos, where the Mishkan is juxtaposed next to Hilcha Shabbos, next to the Mitzvah of Shabbos. And that's, of course, the source of Melech HaShabbos, everything that we are did in the Mishkan, we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But ask the Beis HaLevi, if you look in Truma and Tetzaveh, and the beginning of Kisisa, first is the Mishkan, and then is Shabbos. And then we have the Chet HaEgel and Kisisa, and then the beginning of Vayakel talks about Shabbos, and then the Mishkan is repeated. So why is the order switched? Why is it in Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa we have Mishkan and then Shabbos, and then in Vayakha Bekudeh we have Shabbos and then the Mishkan? Says the Beis HaLevi, he gives a mashal. He says, let's say there's a king, and he has a prince, and he has to buy the prince everything that a prince needs. So he has to buy him basic clothing, and he has to buy him necessities and toothpaste. He has to buy him everything. And then he also has to buy him, you know, the royal vestments and the extra super special items that kings have to give princes. So he has to buy everything. But in what order does he do it? What order does he buy his prince? So he can buy it in different orders. But he says, you know how you know if he's doing it just because he has to or because he wants to? If the king first buys his prince, the royal vestments and the gold watch and all the fancy items, and then the mainly gets all the necessities afterwards, then you know he's doing it out of love. He says, but if first he gets him what he needs, because he needs this, I have to get him his basic clothing, and then eventually, yeah, I'll buy you the extra special stuff also. He says, then you know he's doing it just because he has to, not because he wants to. Before the Chet HaEgel, first we had the Mishkan, and then we had Shabbos. Shabbos, a Jew can't live without Shabbos. Shabbos is every single day since Shabbos was given. The Mishkan, we would love to have it, but that's extra. For 2,000 years, we haven't had the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, that's extra. So when we were on the level right after our Sinai, Hashem first gives us the Mishkan to show his love for us, and then he gives us our basic necessities. But afterwards, after the Egel, we were on a lower level, so first Shabbos is formulated, and then the Mishkan. That's the Beis HaLevi in the beginning of Kisisa. But again, similar idea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu going out of his way for us. That was the Anani HaKavod, says the Mabit. Okay, we are back now to Yom Kippur. Back to Yom Kippur. We are by the two dots. Ayin Vav and Aleph towards the bottom. Asur Achila. So if you remember the first Mishnah here in this parak on Daf, back on Daf Ayin Gimel of Abay, says all the Inuyim, eating, drinking, and the others. Hani Chamishi Inuyim Kineged Mi. These five Inuyim are Kineged what? What are they Kineged? Amrav Chizda Kineged Hei Inuyim Shabbat Torah. Kineged the five times it mentions the Inuy phrase by Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Hani Chamisha Havi Vanan Shisa Tanan. It's only five psukim, and there are six in the Mishnah. If you count eating and drinking separately, there are six inuyim. Answer, Shtia Bechlal Achilahi. Really, drinking is included in eating and in halachically, and therefore you only need one inuy. Even though we said in the Mishnah that they don't combine, but in terms of the category of the inuy, it's enough to just have one, and shtia is bechlal achila. The Amar Ish Lakish, minayin l'shasiya shehi bechlal achila, sheneamar. It says, in Tvarim, v'yachal t'lefnei Hashem alokecha, you shall eat when you bring your Meiser Sheni up to Yerushalayim, Meiser degancha, tiroshcha, v'yitzarecha. So on the list is tirosh. Tirosh is wine. Tirosh chamru, the kari lava achalta. It says v'yachalta, and on the list is wine. So you see, drinking, which is what you do with wine, can be included in eating. Period. Stop there for a moment. The Tosfos Yeshanim and the Radvaz, both in a tshuva, mention, pretty unusual, that the Gemara is, what's the Gemara's lashon? Hani chamishi inuyim kineged mi? Why doesn't it say mino hanimili? Mino hanimili, how do you know it? Kineged mi? You know kineged mi? You know why the Gemara uses that lashon? They both say, because the inuyim are all derabanan. Says, that's this machlokas Rishonim. Remember we said, eating and drinking is for sure daraisa with kares. What about all the other inuyim? Tashma shamita and ilas asandal and rechitza and sicha. So, major machlokas. The Rambam holds they're all daraisa. They're all daraisa. They just don't get kares. And the Ron explains there are limits because of masra kasa v'chachamim. The chachamim can figure it out. But Tosfos and Rashi and the Rosh and the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Radvaz all say the other inuyim are drabanan. I this Gemara, that's why it doesn't say minohani mili. That's why it says kineged mi, which is not a hardcore lashon of limud. No, says the Radvaz in Shin Ayin Zion. Shin Ayin Zion. The question that he was asked is, are you allowed to stand on a leather mat in shul? Okay, you can't wear leather shoes. Fine. But you allowed to stand on a leather mat in shul? That was the question. So he says, yes. Ain kan beis mechush. Afilu chim kashim. He says, no. There's no problem. You're allowed to. It says the Isser was only wearing leather shoes. The Hani Inuyin. And then he says, these Inuyin, bar me'achilu v'shasiyah, besides eating and drinking, midirabanan inu. V'yav agav di'alfinan lo mikroi, asmachta bi'almahu, v'chein kasu v'tosfas, v'hainu d'shailinan b'gemara, hani heinu yim kineged mi, v'lo shailinan minolan, ki urche d'talmuda b'chol tuchta. He says, but, I know the Rambam argues, but that's the diuk that the Rishonim have in this lashon, that it says kineged mi, instead of saying minani mili. So again, it's an asmachta, but it is not a real limud. So again, if we have time at the end, we'll talk more about asmachta. Rebbe Chanan, in the Kovetz Ha'aretz, has the following chakira, when we talk about all the inuyim. He says, how do you understand the inuyim? The impositions and the state that we're supposed to be in. Yesh l'farsha b'shtei inyanim. And all the achronim after Rebbe Chanan, past 100 years, quote this Rebbe Chanan. Two ways to understand. He says, number one, the bitul ha'inui hu gufa iser. The bitul inui, the iser, is really the nullification of the state of afflicting myself. That's the key to these inuyim. L'dugma. The reason that it's asur to eat on Yom Kippur is not because there's an iser per se of eating, but usually not eating puts me in a state of affliction, and eating takes me out of the state of affliction. But really, the root is the putting it in or going out of the state of affliction. Let's say I could figure out a way of eating which I still am in a state of affliction, then that's okay. That's not a problem. That's the halacha of eating b'shiurin. Because you're eating, but you're still in a state of affliction. Or do I say, no, maybe that was the original motivation for the iser, but once it's asur, then it's asur per se. There's an iser achila. Yesh lefarish, dekra de tanu, eino elaha yalfusa, asher mizen nilmod lasar chameshas varam kiyot v'yom kippurim. Aval isurinu mitzad atzman. Da achila asura mitzad atzma. V'lomani bitel inui. You don't look at what the result is. You look at the iser per se, and suggest Rabbi Chanan, maybe this is gufa machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Where are there machlokas between Abaye and Rava? Not near here. Yevamis kuf beis. Yevamis kuf beis. The Gemara there says, quotes a brisa that says that you should not wear leather shoes going from house to house on Yom Kippur. Lo yitayo bahen lo mibayis lo bayis lo mimita lo mita. Omar Abaya, de ispe katit umishum tainug. The reason you can't do that, what do you mean? In shul, when you're sitting, you can't wear leather shoes. When you're walking from place to place, that's only, says Abaya, because you're wearing comfortable ones. You're wearing nice, comfy leather shoes. That's why you can't. That's Abaya. Omar le Rava, umishum tainug below minal, biyoma kivura mi asiri. What? If it's enjoyable, I'm sorry. The case was not talking about a leather shoe. And Abaye says, the problem is because betainuk, you're getting enjoyment. Rava says, so because you get enjoyment, it's usur, even if you're not wearing a leather shoe? It's not a leather shoe. What are you worried about? Omishim tainuk below minal b'yom kippur mi usur? So what's Rava saying? Rava's saying, it's not a leather shoe. Don't look at the issue of comfortable, not comfortable, inui, not inui. The usur is wearing leather shoes. And what would Abaye answer back? No. The iser is to be in the state of inui and not in the state of inui. Says Rabbi Chanan, maybe that's the machlokas between Abaya and Rav. Okay, but either way, the Gemara says that there are five, because shtia can be included in achila, based on this pasuk, that you eat, and it says tirosh. Says the Gemara, mimai, who says tirosh in the pasuk is referring to a liquid, v'dilma d'achila idea nigron. Maybe it's thought about a nigron, which is a mixture, it's a food. But there's just wine as an ingredient. The Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, a nigron mai de silka. A nigron is beet water. Ach sigron mai de kolushalki. Ach sigron is any type of vegetable soup that's mixed together. So you see, maybe that's what the pasuk is referring to by tirosh. So there's no raya that shtia is bechal achila. Ela Amar Rabba Chavar Yaakov Meacha. Okay, a different try. V'nasad akaz lebechol shetav v'nafshecha. V'bakor v'atzon v'ayana v'sheichar. Sheichar shtiahu. Beer is drunk. Again, this is also the pasuk there is referring to sheikhar. Sheikhar is beer. So next raya. Again, the Gemara says, maybe it's talking about a mixture where beer is just one of the ingredients. So it's about food. So the Gemara says, sheikhar ksiv, midi demeshacher. No, it says sheikhar, which means something intoxicating. So this other mixture is not intoxicating. So it has to be talking about the drink. Ivadilma, maybe not Dvela Kilis. Maybe it's talking about a certain type of Dvela, a certain type of dates that are intoxicating. Tanya, Achal Dvela Kilis Vishasa Dvash Vichalav, and somebody drank honey or milk and Nichmas Lamikdash. Chayiv. Maybe it's talking about a food that's intoxicating. So again, we're back to the question. We have no source that drinking is included in eating. So the Gemara says, Ela Yalav Sheikhar Sheikhar Mi Nazir. No, learn from Nazir. Just like Sheikhar in the context of Nazir is referring to an intoxicating drink of wine or anything intoxicating, Afkan Yayin, period. So we know that it must be talking about a drink, and we assume Tirosh is wine, and therefore that's the raya that Shtia is Bichlau Achila, period. The Chashuk Echemet here discusses, are you allowed to make two questions? Number one, if you have wine or grape juice and you freeze it to make an Isis, what bracha do you say on that? What bracha do you say on frozen wine as ices? Number one. Number two, can you make kiddush on that? They're kind of connected. Let's say that you can make a bracha on the ices. Could you make kiddush on an ices, a wine ices? That's his question. That's his question. What's the halacha there? And so let's be with kids, you know, put it in the freezer. What bracha can you make kiddush? So the question is, does something frozen have the status of a liquid? So he goes through regarding Tumah Vatara and regarding Machshir Lekabel Tumah, all the different halachas in terms of frozen wine regarding Stam Yena. What if a non-Jew touches my frozen wine? So is that going to make it usser? So he says regarding all of those other items, it seems to me that it's not called a drink. It's not called a drink, it's frozen, and therefore there's no problem of the non-Jew touching it, and you'd make a shahakol on it. That's what it sounds like. But he says, maybe you should be mechalik between Dinei Tum and Yayin Esach versus Yayin L'inyin Bracha. Over there, Stam Yeinam, what is that about? It's about Kiruv Das, about the non-Jew pouring me a cup of wine. So giving me an Isis doesn't have the same effect as pouring a cup of wine in terms of Kiruv Das. And for Isis. But for Birchas Hananin, maybe the Mala, the Hamailos, maybe you look at the nature of it to determine the Bracha. And this is still Misameach, it's still Sod, it's still Meshacher. And therefore, Lamais at the end, he says, you should not use it for Kiddush. Yadiv HaKiddush doesn't explicate about the Bari Pira Gafen, says you should not use it for Kiddush. Why? Because you can't drink it. You don't make Kiddush and eat. Maybe you make Kiddush on bread. But on wine, you can't, number one. And number two, it doesn't need a kos. And a kos shel bracha, right, because it's put on a stick. Wine requires a kos shel bracha. For another reason why he says you cannot use it. But he's not 100% clear in terms of the Birchas Hanen in Borei Paragafen or not. Okay, we continue. So the Gemara says on the second line, V'tirosh chamruhu. One second. So we got Achila including Shtia. But now we're back to the basic question. Is wine really included in the word Tirosh? V'atanya, hanodim and atirosh. The Braisa says that if somebody makes a neder never to have Tirosh, aser v'chol mine mesika. You're not allowed to have any sweet food. Well, and you're allowed to have wine. So you see, Tirosh does not mean wine. So Gemara says, no. V'lav chamru, of course it means wine. V'aksiv. V'tirosh yinovev besulos. The Pasuk says that Tirosh reveals besula. Besula is a reference to something that is closed up. That wine, when you get a little tipsy, so it, you open up a little bit. So you see, it does mean wine. So it's tupsukim. It does mean, it doesn't mean. Pasuk versus the Brisa. So the Gemara says, Dover habam in a tirosh. Maybe that's what it means. Something that comes from tirosh. Tirosh is really wine. But in the Pasuk, when it says tirosh, you know vebesulos, it means something that comes. But still, min a tirosh, you know vebesulos. So really, we're still stuck. Tirosh does not mean wine. Ivoxiv, a tirosh, yikavecha, yifrotsu. Wine of the vats of the wine press, Yifrotsu. So Dabra Abominati Roshikavecha Yifrotsu, same thing. Ivoxiv, you can't get out of this pasuk. Znus Vyayin Vitirosh Yikachlev. Wine and Tirosh. Yikachlev, it says there that, you know, it has a separate on the list, and they all, Yikachlev, they all pull one's heart, right? Wine and Znus. They all pull one's heart. So, right, the pasuk says, achilas anavim, and drinking, eating grapes is not meshaker, so it must be in a type of wine. So, el dekuliyama tirosh chamru, okay, fine. Tirosh means wine, lamaskan, and therefore we have a good source that shti is included in achila. The one problem is the brisa. The brisa said if I make a neder from tirosh, I could have wine. But by Nedarim, it's always a rule breaker. Nedarim never have to fit into any other category in Torah. Because by Nedarim, you always just go by the language that people use. Lasha b'nei adam. And people might not, when they want to say wine, they say wine. They don't say tirosh. And that's why it is not included. The amai kari le, with an important har, but let's just continue a little bit more. The amai kari le yain, amai kari le tirosh. So why in the Torah does it sometimes call it wine, and does it sometimes call it tirosh? Yayin shemevi yalala. La'olam. Wine, because it brings yalala. It brings pain to the world. Yalala. Rashi says, Rav haniyuf, upuranis ba'la'olam. People are out of control when they drink wine. That's why yayin from the word yalala. Tirot, it brings yalala. It has a yud. Tirot, shakala misgarabo nase rush. Anybody who is out of control with their wine becomes rush, becomes poor. Literally poor, poor in mitzvos, bechulu. Similarly, Rav Kahana Rami, Ksiv Tirosh, Vikanina Tirokarina Tirosh. It says Tirosh without a vav. You can read it Tirosh, as it means poor. Rush is poor. But you read it Tirosh. Zacha Nase Rosh. If somebody acts properly with their wine, they use it in a sanctified way, then they could be a Rosh, they could be a head. Lo Zacha Nase Rosh. And if they use it improperly, like everything in life, Nase Rosh. Similarly, Rava Rami. Rava asked the following stira, Ksiv yishamach v'karinan yisamach. Where do you put the dot, the shin or the sin? Zacha misamcho, if somebody zocha, the wine is misameachim, lo zacha mishamamo. If it's not, it can make him desolate. V'hainu dama Rava, chamra v'richni pichin. Wine and special types of aromas made me smart. Okay, period. Important ha'ara, the Gvuras Ari, just has the ha'ara here. There was a havamina in the Gemara, that tirosh means all sweet items, right? When we quoted this brisa, komin imasika, says the Gemara Sari, the Shakas Aryeh. At that stage of the Gemara, all sweet items are included in tirosh. The pasuk that we're talking about by tirosh is by Maaser Sheni. So you're going to tell me that all trumas, all sweet items are going to be chayv and maaser trumas and maasers? Is that what the havamina of the Gemara? The Gemara thought that tirosh includes komin imasika. How could you say that? That all mini masika are included? So he says, Rov Rishonim hold that Shumas and Maestros are only chayev by Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzar. That's it. Wheat, wine, and oil. Find the sheet of the Rambam that says all fruit are included in Shumas and Maestros. He says, but he says, most Rishonim don't hold like the Rambam, and there are Gemaras against the Rambam. So how does the Gemara have that Havamina? And if it did, why didn't it reject it for that reason? So he says, all I can say is, maybe this is an allusion to the Shita of the Yireim. There's a sheet of the Yireim. He quotes here the Rush, but it's really the Yireim, I think. The Yireim. And that is, the Yireim holds that Shumas and Maestros, he holds like Rashi and Tosfos. It's only by Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzar. Except by Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni includes more, all fruit. He says, and this pasuk that we're talking about here, says the Gemara, is by Maaser Sheni. So there is a minority group of Rishonim that hold Maaser Sheni, all fruit are chayav in Shumas and Maestros. Unlike Truma and Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni is unique, but maybe this is a remez to that shita. That's the Gvuras Ari right here. Okay, let's just finish up the last section for today. Says the Gemara, Rechitza v'sicha minalon. So fine, I now have of eating and drinking. I know that is obvious, that's called inui, and I know shti is bechlal achila. So how do I know that not washing and not smearing myself with oil, minolan d'ikri inui? How do I know that is called a state of affliction? Dechsiv, lechem chamudos lo achalti. Daniel says, Daniel is chamudos. Right now, lechem chamudos lo achalti. Ubasar v'yayin lo ba elpi. I didn't eat bread. I didn't eat meat or wine. V'soch lo sachti. Right, he was saying, I'm in a state of inui. And he says, soch lo sachti. He was upset that they weren't building the Beis HaMikdash. And he includes in there sach lo sachti. So my lechem chamudos lo achalti. What does that mean? Amar Yehuda Breider Shul Bar Shelas Afilu Nama Dachiti Dachyasa lo acha. Even a type of special bread he didn't eat. Not only did he not drink wine, he didn't even eat bread. Uminala dechashiv ki inui. How do you know all of those are inui? Dechziv ayomer elai al tira Daniel. Hashem said to me, the Malach said, don't fear. Ki min ayom arishon asher nasates libcha lo havin ulehis anos. Right, since you started being in a state of inui, your words have been heard. And I came because of your actions. So you see there, everything he did is called inui. That's the not eating and the not smearing. So ashkechad sicha, rechitza minalan. So fine, the pasuk only talks about sicha, smearing. But what about washing? Amar Rav Zutra, Berei Rabbi Tuvia, Amar Kra, V'Tavo Kamayim V'Kirbo, V'Chashemin V'Atzmosav. The pasuk compares water and oil. And therefore, if we have a pasuk about oil being inui, so to water. I ve'ema kishtia. Maybe it's only compared in terms of drinking, not in terms of smearing, meaning washing. So no, dumi et shemen. Ma shemen me'avroi. Just like in the pasuk, shemen is talking about from the outside, smearing it on your body. Af ma'im me'avroi. So to the water in the pasuk is referred to not drinking the water, but washing with the water. I v'hatana ifcha kanasiv la. But in the Mishnah in Shabbos, we have the opposite. We don't learn out water from oil, but the opposite. It's none. Minayin l'sicha shehi k'shtia b'yom ha-kipur. In the opposite direction, sicha is like shtia. Here we just had shtia is like shticha. Af al pishein ra'i l'davar zecha l'davar. Even though there's no real raya, but there's a hint to it. Shenamar v'tavoch hamayim b'kirbo v'chashemen v'atzmosav. Ready, quotes the pasuk, but it's in the opposite direction. So elamar avashi rechitza migufet akrash am yalei. Really, rechitza's learned that you don't need a comparison to learn out rechitza from sicha. Really, you learn it out from the pasuk itself. Techsiv v'soch lo sachti. It's a double lashon. What's the extra word in the pasuk? You learn it out to teach me rechitza. Period. Just to end off, the Ritva here mentions that even though we say Sicha is like Shtia for Yom Kippur, for other areas of Halacha, that might not be true. We're going to talk about this on tomorrow's Tosfos also, but the Ritva says there are other Halachas that talk about Rechitza and Sicha. Like, what about Truma? An Arel is not allowed to eat or drink Truma. What about smearing with Truma wine? With Truma oil? Is one allowed to smear with Truma oil? So that's the Ritva's discussion right here, also Tosfos tomorrow. The Ritva says here, I've already mentioned in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, She'ein sicha kishtia b'shum iser acher, ela b'truma. Damar Rachmana, v'gam l'rabo says asach. V'hachal in yom ha-kipurim, midrabanan v'alma. Like he says. This is Rabbanan, like Rov Rishonim. Ava lo b'shum iser acher, she'ein bo iser hana. L'fichach, mutter lasuch b'shuman shel chazer, o nevela v'chayotzi bohem. That's why you're allowed to smear with pig oil or pig fat, if someone would want to. That's not called drinking, right? Sicha is not like shtia, except for truma and on a daraisa level, and yom kippur on a darabana level. But by all others, we'll get back to this also tomorrow. It is not okay. We'll stop here. Hashem, we will continue parsha shir. Hashem should be up, and we'll continue.